just want to say, I know that the Bible says where two or three are gathered, in his name, he is there. But you know, there's a song that we sang this morning. I said, worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. And I remember, I think Pastor's one who introduced me to that song. And I went, and I've been listening to it when I listened to it this week. And you know, there's some songs, I'll be careful what I say here. Every song glorifies God, but you know that song, when I was listening to it, is like, Holy Spirit just speaking to me that if you can just raise that song in your house anywhere, Jesus will walk in immediately. That song, you know? So I just wanted to share that with you. So we've been, what have we been looking at in church? What have we been studying in church? I'm going to take the microphone to someone. I'm joking. What have we been studying in church? Hearing the Holy Spirit. Yeah, hearing the voice of God. It's not a trick question. Don't worry. Yeah, we've been talking about hearing the voice of God. And every time Pastor Benson asked me to like carry on and talk about the message that he's been talking about, I'm like in my head, oh, but Pastor said everything. There's nothing else to say. But you know, whenever I say that, God just comes with different angles because God's word is new every day. Amen. And the first thing I want us to look at this morning, when we talk about hearing the voice of God, Pastor Benson has talked about different ways we can hear the voice of God. Some people, maybe you have a vision. Some people, like Moses, he heard the voice of God audibly and all of that. But you know, the hearing the voice of God doesn't have to be that spiritual. Do you know that we hear the voice of God every time? It's actually very common. So for example, every Sunday when the word is taught, we hear the voice of God. Because it's not Pastor Benson that's preaching. It's not me. It's not anyone else that God uses to speak up here. Every time someone mounts the pulpit or you listen to a teaching, that's the voice of God coming to you. It's so amazing. You can have like, how many of us here? You can have maybe 30, 40 people in a place, and everybody will pick their own word from that word. It's because God speaks through his word. Also as well, God can speak through music. I love worship. I love music. And it's very funny. Sometimes I can be, you know, us women, we have to encourage ourselves, you know, when we have to wash all those plates. If you don't have a dishwasher, sorry. You know, you have to cook. Oh, cooking African food. Do you know how many hours it takes? You need like a whole weekend. So you need to just set the atmosphere so that food can be sweet. And whenever I listen to the music, trying to encourage myself when I'm, you know, doing whatever in the kitchen, sometimes God can just bring a song and there's something in that song where I hear God's voice. So God's voice doesn't have to be so spooky or spiritual. You can hear God speaking in many avenues, and it can even be through music. And also as well, we can hear, do you know that we can hear God speak through very strange ways? Like God can speak to a child to come to you. God can use anything. You know, during the convention, something strange happened to me, something very interesting. Obviously, the convention was quite packed, right? And churches from London, churches from Birmingham came. And I was at the back, you know, where the food was. I wasn't there because of the food, but I was at the back anyway. And this was a Saturday. And there was a girl that was sat next to her mother. You know, very pretty. Her mom dyed her hair very nice. And you know what? Something just came to my mind, and I said, wow, God, the way that girl is sitting next to her mom, Father, Lord, I want my daughter to sit with me in church like that. It just came to me. And you would not believe, after the service, I've never met this girl in my life. I don't know her. I've never spoken to her mom. That girl just came to me. And she said, what's your name? I said, huh? She was so bold, so courageous. And then she was just speaking to me, asking me, you know, what do I do? What baby are you having? She was so bold. And then I stopped her and I said to her, I said, do you know that during the service I was looking at you and God brought this to my head and you've come to me? I tell you, God can speak to you in different ways. That's the point of my example this morning. If we can just open up our hearts. Then the other thing that I just wanted to also recap is that God can speak to us in many ways. And the question I ask is, why does God want us to hear his voice? So Pastor has told us many avenues. I've given us some examples just now. But why does God want us to hear his voice? That's the other thing that we need to look at. And there are reasons why God wants us to hear his voice. And some of the reasons is, the first one that I just want to say is, God wants us to hear his voice because he wants to partner with us. God wants you to hear his voice because he wants to partner with you. Yeah? And that got me thinking about some great men of God, because when we read the Bible, sometimes we think, well, God used those men. God used Paul. God used Moses. God used Joseph. But surely, why does God want to use me, you know? And then God brought my attention to the Gideon Bible. I'm sure all of us, we've been to a hotel before. What do we normally find in the drawer in the hotel? A Gideon Bible. And I said to myself, that's interesting. I wonder why there's a Bible in every drawer in the hotel. And it got me thinking, and I did some research. And apparently, there was a group of businessmen, salesmen, that when they used to travel, they said, okay, let's come up with an idea that businessmen, you know, businessmen flying from here to there, when we go to the hotel, we find the word of God that can comfort us. And they came together and they started this evangelical movement. And those men of God, they heard the voice of God. Then it got me thinking as well about something else as well. This is a silly question. I'm sure we all know the song Amazing Grace. Okay. Do we all know how that song came about? And this is another thing. It's not good to listen to, you know, what just people say. It's good to go back to the facts. Because for a long time, I believe that Amazing Grace was written by someone who was going through slavery. However, Amazing Grace was actually written by one of the people who were slave owners. So there was a man who was a slave owner, and his name was John Newton. I remember, like Paul, you know Paul. I love God because God normally uses people that we don't expect to use. Just like the fishermen, just like Paul. I mean, Paul was someone who planned to crucify Christians, but God raised him up and turned his life. And like this man, he was a slave owner. You know, back in the days, you know, they used to do slave trade and all that stuff. And God just spoke to him one day about the business he was doing. And God changed his life around. And then he started to write that song, Amazing Grace. And that's why he said, I once was lost. God saved a wretch like me. And why am I using all these examples of the Gideon Bible, Amazing Grace? Because these men are long and gone, aren't they? But they heard the voice of God, and we are still experiencing the power of God through the different missions that they did. And then one thing also that struck me as well is, in America, do we know what the dollar note says? In God we trust. You know, every time I think of America, it's a lovely place. Amen. But I just think God knew why in 1955 he got some people in the House of Representatives, and I think the president at the time was something Einstein, and they all agreed that we need to put that word, in God we trust, on that dollar. So every time we go in situations, we know that this country was built on faith. I'm not saying these are just ordinary men like us. You don't need to be on a pulpit. God can use you in every way. And there's a scripture that I'd like us to turn to. And God made me see the scripture in a different light this week. Right, I'd like us to turn to, I believe it's Matthew chapter 25, and it's from verse 31, and quite a long read, but I'll read it to us. It's quite a long read, but we'll start from verse 31. You can follow me, and I can read, or you can, don't worry, I'll read for us. So this is Jesus speaking. Jesus had spoken a couple of parables. He then came to this, and this is titled The Final Judgment. It says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people from one another as shepherds separate the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you are my blessed, my father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me.'" Amen. I've heard that scripture many times in church. And I used to think, oh my God, this means that in order for us to make heaven, I have to do prison ministry, I have to go and feed the sick, I have to do all those things. But you know, as I was looking at this word, hearing the voice of God, and looking at why do we need to hear the voice of God? Because we need to partner with him to work on his behalf. And this scripture, I tell you, for all of us, by God's grace, it is going to come to pass. Because one day we're going to shut our eyes when God calls us. And God is going to say, if you permit me, I say, "Well done, Usher Daniel. You know, when I came to church that day, you welcomed me with a smile. You were so calm, you led me to that seat. Well done, Sister Chioma. All those snacks and provisions you made, honestly, you fed me. Well done, Sister Ama. That smile you gave me during the convention. Well done, Pastor Benson. Every morning you went, you preached the word of God when you were tired. That word, that prophecy you gave healed me. Well done, Brother Ugo. Well done, Brother Charles. Even though you're tired, you woke up. You set up the church for my people to come and sit. Your name is in this scripture. Every one of us, I tell you, God is going to say, well done." And we're going to say, "But God, when did I do this?" And God is going to say, "On this day." And everyone, if I didn't mention you, sorry, please. But I'm just using that as an example. That God is speaking to us, because God is not going to come down from heaven, because he has you. He has you, Brother Henry. He has you, Sister Tisha. He has you, Sister Natasha. He has you. And that is why we hear the voice of God, so we can partner with God and work on his behalf. So God made me see that scripture in a different light this week. Amen. 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 I hope we're encouraged to keep going and working, because God is taking note of everything. God is taking note of everything. Okay, the other thing that I wanted to go back to, Pastor Benson already started talking about this, but I'm going to go over it. Because, you know, every time Pastor Benson asks me to speak, there's always something the Holy Spirit is like, "I really want the people to come to church this morning to get this." And this is going back to, whilst we're hearing the voice of God, we need to be able to recognize that it actually is the voice of God. Remember Pastor Benson treated this? He said there's a voice which is us, there's a voice which is God, and there's a voice which is the devil. Yeah? And I want us to read a story. It's in Jeremiah chapter 28. Jeremiah chapter 28. And again, you know, I can read it for us. Jeremiah chapter 28. Jeremiah chapter 28 is from verse 1. Yeah. So in the fifth month of that same year, the fourth year in the reign of Zedekiah and king of Judah, the prophet Hananiah, son of Azor, who was from Gibeon, said to me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priest and all the people, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. I will break the yoke, the king of Babylon, within 2 years. I will bring back to this place all the articles of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar and the king of Babylon removed from here and took to Babylon. I will also bring back this place, Joachim, son of Joachim, king of Judah, and all the other exiles from Judah who went to Babylon, declares the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon." Then the prophet Jeremiah replied to the prophet Hananiah, before the priest and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. He said, "Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord fulfill the words you have prophesied by bringing the articles of the Lord's house and all the exiles back to this place from Babylon. Nevertheless, listen to what I have to say in your hearing and the hearing of all the people. From early times, the prophets who preceded you and me have prophesied war, disaster, and plague against many countries and great kingdoms. But the prophet who prophesies peace will be recognized as one truly sent by the Lord, if only his predictions come true." Then the prophet Hananiah took the yoke off the neck of prophet Jeremiah and broke it. And he said before all the people, "This is what the Lord says. In the same way, I will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and the neck of all the nations within 2 years." At this, the prophet Jeremiah went on his way. After the prophet Hananiah had broken the yoke off the neck of prophet Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. "Go and tell Hananiah, this is what the Lord says. You have broken a wooden yoke, but in its place you will get a yoke of iron. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. I will put an iron yoke on the necks of all these nations to make them serve Nebuchadnezzar, and they will serve him. I will even give him control over the wild animals." Then the prophet Jeremiah said to Hananiah the prophet, "Listen, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, yet you have persuaded this nation to trust in lies." And I want to stop there. You know, Pastor Benson talked about so many ways in which we need to be discerning to make sure the voice of God that we hear is God. And one of the things that came to me is that, you know, in this last days, many people are going to be looking for prophecy. Many people are going to be looking for prophecy. But just like this prophet, when he spoke all those things, it sounded like God, didn't it? I don't know if you followed. It was a long read. It sounded like God, but it wasn't God. And the devil wants to, you know, derail people and use prophecy is good, but use it sometimes to derail people. And sometimes it sounds like God, but it's not God. And one of the things he said here is that God is not a God that prophesies doom. If God prophesies something, he will bring the solution. He will bring the answer. He's a God of peace. And it's very hard for me to say this morning. God was just saying to me, like, just desire me, desire my word. Don't desire the prophecy, because sometimes the devil can use that, and we will not be used as scapegoats in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, sometimes when I look on social media, I see shocking things. And I'm like, really? These are lawyers, doctors, intelligent people, and they're sitting down listening to this man? lie to them? My God. I mean, I think the weirdest one I've heard is some of these things I don't even want to say. Like in the church and the prophet saying to come and wash your sins away using detergent, washing people. And I'm like, you know, my heart breaks because the devil's taking advantage of people's situation. People are vulnerable. People are lost. People are looking for hope. But rather than look for prophecy, look for God. And another thing that God was saying to me, you know, funny enough, I was listening to, you know, one of the messages of the apostle. You know the apostle that came here? He had a Light of the Men's conference. And he said something. He said he went to a country in West Africa, I don't want to say. And because he's got prophetic gifts as well and everything, and the media came to interview him, and he told them about all the miracles. He told them about all the prophecies he's prophesied that's come to pass and everything. And you know what they said? They said, wow, we need to let the whole of West Africa know about you. We need to, you know, put you here, put you on social media, put you there. And you know what he said? If that was you and I, what would we say? Or another man of God. They'll say, okay, come, when's the first schedule? But you know what he said, thank you. But you don't need to announce me. Announce Jesus. And that's, when I read this scripture, that was one of the things I said, how would you know that it is God speaking? There's a scripture I wrote down here. I might not be able to find it. It's in Revelation. There's a scripture in Revelation. Revelation chapter 19, verse 10. Revelation chapter 19, verse 10. This is when John was having his revelation. Revelation 19, verse 10. This is John speaking. At this, I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, don't do that, for I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers and sisters who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for it is spirit of prophecy who bears testimony to Jesus. What did that angel say? When John wanted to worship him, when the angel gave him all the things that were to come, he said, don't worship me. Worship God, because the spirit of prophecy bears testimony to Jesus. Every prophecy bears testimony to the word of God. Every prophecy bears testimony to Jesus. Every prophecy announces Jesus. They don't want to be seen. I'm not going to be a prophet that says, oh, come and touch my hand, come and touch my hand. And like my husband always says, when I go, it's like everybody falls apart from the cameraman. How come the cameraman doesn't fall? Oh, the power of God skipped over the cameraman, right? You know, let's not be deceived, because it's all about Jesus. And God just wanted me to share that with us this morning. Amen. I hope I've not made anyone sad, you know. So any prophecy, you know, I know how it is. I was raised by an African mother. Oh, this prophet, this great prophet, he wants to speak to you. I've booked an appointment for you on the phone. Or this prophet is praying for you on the mountain. Or you have the power of God in you. Am I saying that we do not respect the gift of prophecy? Yes, we do. But seek Jesus first, not the prophecy. Amen. That's what I'm just saying this morning. Amen. So we've been looking at hearing the voice of God, that God speaks to us all the time through different things. I gave examples of every time you come to church, God is speaking to you. When you hear life-filled music, God is speaking to you. And we said that, but why is God speaking? God is speaking because he wants you to partner with him. He has a work for you to do. Amen. And then we spoke about being careful of discerning the voice of God. And I'm going to just keep to time this morning. The last thing that I just want to talk about this morning is, now that I understand that the voice of God can come in many ways, now that I know that the voice of God is speaking to me as Remy, as Tishe, as every individual that's in here, what next? What next is, God wants you to hearken to his voice. God wants you to respond to that voice. And I just want to give a testimony, and I always expose myself, but it's okay. If it's going to bless someone, I don't mind, okay? You know, I'm going to be real. You know, during the convention, we were told about different things, and, you know, there was a point about tithe, and I've got like, you know, obviously, like every one of us, we have projects, we have plans, we're saving. You hear all this stuff on the news. You're trying to get your money together. You know what I'm saying? Yeah? And so, like, I was like, oh, okay. So, yeah, this is the amount I normally give for tithe. But God, you know, this month, I'll just pay half of it. You understand? Then I will pay the next one next month. But you know what happens with that? You continue to owe God. And then when Apostle spoke, something came out of me. I said, in fact, I'm going to empty my savings. I'm joking. I didn't do that. But you know, I said, no, I'm not doing half this month. I said, I'm just going to give everything. I'm going to give my full 10%. And you know what, God? Because if he says, bring in my tithe to the storehouse, and he says, I'll put a window that you cannot contain, then that means I'm fooling myself when I'm singing. I don't believe his word. I'm trying to use my wisdom. So I'm trying to follow God halfway and use my wisdom. So I said, you know what? I'm just going to give my tithe. God, whatever happens this month happens. And you know, outside of my normal job, I do some other like part-time jobs sometimes, you know, just to supplement. You know what I'm saying? You know, to supplement that account. You want to see it rising, don't you? You know? So I did a job. I knew the amount they're supposed to pay me because I'm not an accountant by profession, but I've made myself an accountant. I'm always online checking that my account is up to date all the time. And then I checked my pay slip and I called my husband. I said, I'm only supposed to be paid this amount, but they've paid me more. So I called the person. I said, I just want to be honest with you. You've paid me more. What happened? They said, sorry, we owed you tax. And God always does that. When you obey him, he keeps to his word because he's not begging. He just wants your obedience. And I'm using that example to say, God is speaking to us this morning and he wants your obedience. And I'd like to encourage you and speak to you from a scripture in Isaiah chapter 51, verse 4 to 16. And this is what God is saying to everyone this morning. God wants us to hear his voice. As written in Isaiah 51, verse 4 to 16, he says, hearken unto me, my people. Give ear unto me, O my nation. For a law shall proceed from me, and I will make judgment to the rest for a light of the people. My righteousness is near. My salvation is gone forth, and my arm shall judge the people. The isles shall wait upon me, and on my arm shall they trust. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look upon the earth beneath. For the heavens shall vanish away like smoke. The earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, that is us, the children of God. The people in whose heart is my law, fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their rivaling. For the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. Awake, awake. God is saying that to us this morning. Put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the ancient days, in the generations of old. Art thou not that have caught Rahab and Wooden the dragon? Art thou not which have dried the sea, the waters of the great deep? It's talking about the might of God, that have made the depths of the sea a way for the ransom to pass over. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Amen. I'll stop at verse 11. You know, in that verse, God is speaking to us. Yeah, I know it was prophet Isaiah, but God is speaking to us that the reason why he's speaking is because there's a work for us to do. And you may think, I'm not going to go and hold the microphone. It's not, it doesn't have to be. We talked about the men that did the Gideon Bible. We talked about the people who made it possible for the people of America to know that in God they trust every time they see their currency. You know, we've talked about God is taking note of everything we do in the house of God. And I just want to share a testimony with us. God is also speaking to me. We had a prayer meeting one time, and I think someone raised, I think it was Brother Henry, he raised the prayer point that God should, sorry I'm paraphrasing, God should give us a heart for evangelism. I noticed something, that this area of evangelism is something that really touches God's heart. It is so important to God. And if you read in that Isaiah, God is talking about his righteousness going forth. And you know, when I was younger, I'm still young, but when I was younger, I used to do something. There's something we call tracts. Do you know what tracts are? They're like these evangelism cards. I used to put them in my bag. And because like I wasn't bold to like stand and just evangelize, you know, like how pastor does it sometimes with people that go. So I just used to put it in my bag. And I used to, whenever I got in a cab, I'll just say, I'll give them the money. I'll say, Jesus loves you, and I'll give them the track. When I go and wash my car, when they finish washing the car, I say, Jesus loves you, and I'll give them the track. And I just kept doing that. And one day, I went into a taxi. And you know, I did the same thing. I said, Jesus loves you, and I gave him a track. And the guy, this guy must have been in his 40s, he broke down crying. And he started telling me all his problems, you know, his financial problems, his family. He's sending money back home to, he was an Asian guy, India, and all of that. And you know, just because of that tiny action I took, that guy was comforted. And you know what? That's all you need to do. You just need to go for God. That's all you need to do. You don't need to have a channel on YouTube or stand here. But God is saying to us this morning, he wants to partner with us. And as that scripture said in Isaiah, you see the world here, you know, when I look at the way God talks about the whole earth, I mean, have you looked at the map? How gigantic the earth, he says, is going to be rolled away. Rolled away like you're pulling your curtain. Like, this earth is nothing to God. It says that all the kings of this world, their glory is like grass that fades. But there's one thing that is important to God, is to reach out to souls. And I know that we all focus on absolutely every aspect of our life, our career and stuff, which is awesome. I'm all for that. But this one area, God is saying, let us partner with him and expand his kingdom. Amen? Amen. Amen. I hope we're encouraged. Amen. Amen. Let's just rise up and pray to God this morning. Amen. Let's thank God that, first of all, that he wants to speak to us. The Bible says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Who are we that God is mindful of us, that he wants to speak to us and partner with us? And so this morning, I want you to just lift up a prayer in your heart and say, God, help me to hearken to your voice. Because God is always speaking. He speaks to you all the time. Just say, God, help me to hearken to your voice. You know, that day when I see you, I want you to say, thank you. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me water. Let's just open up our hearts and say, God, I thank you because I know that you speak to me, but God, help me to respond to you the right way. Help me to hearken to your voice, oh God. Help me to hearken to your voice, oh God. Let me not see myself as nothing, but let me see myself as someone that God wants to use for his kingdom, for his purpose. We thank you, O God, we worship you. 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 And you know, when I was talking about the prophetic thing, you know, sometimes I don't like to say these things, but it's like yesterday when I was looking at that scripture about the false prophet, is that God is saying, from childhood, Maybe some of us have received prophecy that have scared us all our lives. God is telling us that don't be afraid. If you have received any prophecy from old, recently, prophecy that does not line up to the word of God, God is telling you this morning that look to my word. Look to my word. Don't be afraid of that prophecy, whatever. You know, I don't know who is for this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, because the spirit of prophecy is God himself, testifies to Jesus. Hallelujah. All we need is Jesus. Thank you, oh God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.